This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a terrific service department, routine to difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Very quickly, the three things I said were negative about Illinois all came up at once on Saturday. One, I said no natural point guard. Then when you look at them play, they're not a good defensive team, despite what Brad says. And number three, they are not a Phi Beta Kappa basketball team. Oh! And then they go to Brad in the sideline. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. I'm like, what? I called Dick. I said, can you believe this guy? Actually, we can. All right, so let's go to the line and bring in the outstanding Nate Bauer, the guy that will straighten us out and tell us everything that we're doing wrong and set us right. How are you, sir?
Oh, stop it. You're perfect. You know it.
Well, I will start, by the way, sir, since it's a non-golf day, with some basketball. Penn State did get a commitment on a transfer, which, by the way, if you want to talk to Dr. Girardi about him, he will speak volumes about him. He saw him play a lot in high school, so that's why I got a pretty good handle on this guy. And I'm telling you, you should turn that direction. I think it'll help you out, especially with some of the people that just have no idea what they're talking about. All right. I forgot you deal with them every day.
I'm included with those people.
But Dick's seen him play a lot. Not a little, a lot. But, you know, what does, you know, at least out of the gate, tell you about the direction they're going with some of this and how difficult is the transfer cycle to report on, because not everybody is very forthcoming once they give their initial list. That way they're playing people off everybody.
You brought it all up at once. I mean, it's where do I start? Let's start with the latter half there. The transfer portal reporting is going to be difficult. And I don't think I quite grasped the misdirection that's involved. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you heard things last year. I felt like last year was fairly straightforward to report on. You know, I think that people kind of knew what everybody else was doing in terms of visits, right? So a couple of things. One thing that's super interesting to me, and that has been reflected over the last week or two, is people are getting right. So when guys go into the portal, they are getting a flood of attention, right? And so you see these tweets that basically are, you know, from national reporters basically saying, oh, you know, player X has entered the transfer portal and has heard from, and then there's a list of 30 schools, right?
Right.
And so what's happening is players are hearing from 30 schools on the first day. They're hearing from 30 more schools on the second day. And then they're hearing from very few schools after that. And so what's actually happening is players are hearing initially, because it's kind of that recruiting theme of you want to be in first, you want to be in early. But then once teams go back and start to do their homework and get a grasp and a grip on who these guys actually are, you know, they see that one of three things, right? They either don't fit what you're actually trying to do. You know, the NIL element is too high, right? It's just not going to fit. It's not going to work because what they're asking for in the transfer portal is too much. And I'm forgetting the third. But those two elements on the front side are making things very, very challenging. For teams to be able to actually identify and bring in the players that they want. So what I'm watching as a reporter this transfer cycle is who's visiting. Right, who's actually going to these schools? Because most of these commitments aren't happening without visits. These guys are going to come to campus. Kachi, was one of those guys. He was at Penn State last week and ended up committing on the last day of his visit. So that's some of what I'm watching here in the transfer portal.
I am aware. All right, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah.
So next up. Okay, because this is also looking at a positional balance. Based on what Penn State lost in the transfer portal,
yep.
What do you, in terms of positional balance, what might they need during this cycle?
Yeah, so this is the first part of your question that I didn't answer. They need size desperately. There's really no. Not like there's any mystery to this, right? And so I think that what Kachi brings is, and this is where it's going to be interesting to see how they fill out the rest of these scholarships, right? They've got four to play with. Now they have three with his commitment, at present anyway. They only have one true power forward center, right? Four or five, right? I mean, I don't know about you. Like, I'm not calling Zach Hicks a four. I'm not calling Puff Johnson a four. Those guys don't play like that. That's not who they are. So knowing that, understanding that, I'm actually just writing about it right now. Like, Penn State finished minus 5.2 in rebound. Like, they were dead right. last in rebounding against Big Ten competition.
I may have noticed.
Yes. What's that?
I said I may have noticed.
Yeah, you may have noticed. Yeah, I mean, it was a thing. And Rhodes was honest about it. Mike Rhodes was honest about it. He was like, look, this is some of this goes beyond what you're trying to do, right? Like, players can try hard. Like, you know, I think Puff Johnson, when he had minutes, was trying hard to get rebounds. Zach Hicks was trying hard to get rebounds. But sometimes you're limited athletically and in size differential that you just can't do anything about. Kachi helps fix that. He gives them a true four. He gives them a four that's going to be a power forward. And where I felt on the front end he was going to be more of a developmental piece who might be in line for, you know, he averaged 10 minutes at Xavier. He bumped that up down the stretch to maybe 15, 20 minutes a game. I think he's going to be a 20 minutes a game guy for Penn State next season with ample room for growth. But he would have been a true difference maker in terms of that rebounding element that Penn State just and Rhodes specifically realized and understood deeply. You can't exist like this. You cannot have right. a team that doesn't have a four who can't gobble up some of those rebounds that they needed.
Well, that's one of the reasons why. Look, you go through the league and you learn early. You need. All right, you can talk about centers all you want, right? But this is a league where if you have bigger wings, it really helps. And
yep.
it's, I don't think there are some people that realize that, but I will leave that to you to talk about. But that's just the reality of the league if you're actually like really paying attention to it and actually know basketball.
Yep. Yep. No, you have to. You have to have that size. You have to have that physicality, right? It's not just you can be 6'7", 6'8", and weigh 220 pounds and not gravitate toward contact and physicality.
That's right.
You cannot be afraid of that. And again, there is a place for some of that play and for some of those guys to excel. They have opportunities, but you also need somebody that can be a dog, right? I mean, I don't know who first came up and coined junkyard dog, but like this kid fits that. You do think that for Mike Rhodes' teams and the identity that he brings and the characteristics and the culture that he wants to have at Penn State, this. Like, I don't want to set the wrong expectations in terms of what Kachi can do right off the bat. I think that he does need room for development and to grow. Sure. But he, like, high motor, right? He's going to be a dog. He's going to be willing and enthusiastic about bringing that element to the floor for Penn State. And they desperately, desperately needed it this past season and just didn't have it.
Yeah. All right, and it's just the beginning. We'll see what else they want to do because they still, I believe, have four spots to fill, something like that. And, of course, you know, and then there's the recruiting part of it, and we'll see how the recruiting class plays out with this group as well along the way. Not just what has it meant, the guys that stayed, the guys that they've kept, because now they're going to get a full year with Greg Golden and the strength and conditioning program. They understand Mike's system more. What does that mean moving forward?
Yeah, no question. You know, look, I think that certainly Puff Johnson announced that last week that he was coming back, and that's huge. I just, you know, to be clear to anyone listening, right, Ace Baldwin is a question. I think that if I'm ballparking in my honest assessment, he is very likely to come back to Penn State for another season, but right, these guys are bonus years, and all of those guys, it doesn't matter whether you're talking football or basketball, they all have to decide whether or not they still want to be a college student, right? Once they're 22, 23 years old, sometimes that becomes challenging. So Ace is still out there, and we'll see what happens with him. But yeah, you know, Puff Johnson, Zach Hicks, Nick Kern coming back. Those are big. Those are all big. DeMarco Dunn expected back. You know, to have had the season that they had this year with some of the holes in the lineup that they had, if you can cement and keep as much of that core together as you can, and all of those guys that I just mentioned had significant roles. They may have had roller coaster seasons in a lot of ways, but if you can keep those guys and build on the things that they did well and try to improve on some of their vulnerabilities, some of their weaknesses, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for Penn State to establish some continuity, right? And you knew this, and everybody knew this. It is one thing to talk about, hey, you know, 10 new guys into the program over 59 days, and that was an impressive feat to bring those guys in. But now this program has an opportunity to take a breath and be judicious and purposeful, right? You're not just filling bodies. You know what your weaknesses are. You know what the returning strengths are. How do you complement them? How do you build a team that is an actual team, not just a collection of pieces? And I give them a ton of credit for what they were able to do this year, but I do think my perception of what they can do next year and beyond is optimistic, given the opportunity to actually bring those pieces in through the transfer portal. They have to do it. They have to actually bring those pieces in. And NIL and how big that war chest is going to play a big part in what they're able to bring in. But it's out there. There are 1,000 players plus in the transfer portal right now. The opportunity to be selective and bring some guys in that they feel like fit the mold, it bodes well.
You asked me an interesting question at practice the other day. It was the one after you said you're quitting, right? No. And you said, you know, what's the sense of the vibe? Well, you talk to a lot of fans about football.
I do.
Right? So, you know, now look, it's a segment. it's not a big segment, but it's a segment out there, and they're vocal. So what's, you know, what's the vibe that you have right now in, with this spring practice?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and I'm not. To me, I always get caught up with what's the vocal minority, right? And what is the broader sentiment? And to me, I do see after the last year, you know, a sense of disillusionment. I would say, right? Even among fan, like among people who do have optimism, who do bring a sense of hope to how they perceive the next season. But I do think that Penn State football is in a great rut, right? I think that's how I perceive it, is, hey, they have been very good. James Franklin has demonstrated time and time, like nobody is doubting that the direction and leadership of the Penn State football program can deliver 10, 11 wins a season. And that is very good. It is very, very good. But the one thing that everybody wants is excellent. They want beyond very good. They want to get over the top. And I do think that there is a validity to the sense that against Ohio State and Michigan specifically, Ole Miss, we can have a debate about, but that was not the same Penn State team that took the field that day. Doesn't matter, though. Ohio State and Michigan are the reason that they were in that game in the first place, and they didn't play or perform really to the level that made it feel competitive. Those weren't close games, ultimately, right? Penn State needs to score more points. Bottom line, they got to have a better offense. They got to be more explosive. They have to be more potent offensively. And so that sense of disillusionment, I think, is riding on, hey, what has changed, right? Andy Kotelnicki came into Penn State's offense this year. But Drew Aller needs to be better than he was in those games. The receivers are mostly the same faces. They brought in Julian Fleming, for sure. But you've got a lot of the same pieces that you are asking to deliver where they weren't able to and really didn't come close to being able to last season. So it sets up a weird vibe this offseason of, you hope that Penn State can get it over the top, but do fans expect that with James Franklin, with this program right now? I would say no. And that's it's a very curious place for the program to be, in my opinion, because they have demonstrated that you can get to this level, and the more shots that you get at it, you will have opportunities to get over the top. But they have to go out and do it, and now you're at a point where it's 7 months away until they get that next chance.
Right, because yeah, they've been in the top 5% since 2016. The problem is the playoffs include the top 3%. That's right. And now we'll see what happens now with it going to 9%, what it means. Nate, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the brilliance, the insight, how well it was articulated, everything that makes you.
Oh, stop it. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me. As always, I'll see you at practice tomorrow.
Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs Products take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 630 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 630 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.